Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. The 64-campus SUNY College System is notifying incoming freshmen at all of its colleges they will have to pass a new diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice theme class to earn a diploma. Carl Campanile in the New York Post reports that the new college racial equity courses must, according to State University of New York documents, describe the historical and contemporary societal factors that shape the development of individual and group identity involving race, class, and gender. Analyze the role that complex networks of societal structures and systems play in the creation and perpetuation of the dynamics of power, privilege, oppression, and opportunity. Apply the principles of rights, access, equity, and autonomous participation to past, current, or future social justice action. Several other campuses across the country, Drake University, Brandeis University, Villanova, and the University of California system among them, have imposed similar racial equity programs. Incoming freshmen at SUNY campuses will be required to pass a certified Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Social Justice DEISJ course to graduate. SUNY Chancellor John King defended the new DEISJ curriculum and coursework as broadening understanding and tolerance. Quote, "Exposure to and understanding of diversity is essential to success in our modern society and economy. As a leader in preparing the future workforce and citizenry, SUNY is committed to embedding diversity into the foundation of all it does." Governor Kathy Hochul is set to propose a state budget today while facing a challenging fiscal and political dilemma. New York is flush with cash now, but potential financial problems are just a few years away. Then add political tension to the mix. Senate Democrats just recently dealt Hochul a huge blow by blocking, so far, her nominee to be New York State's chief judge. It's the biggest fight Hochul has had with legislators since becoming governor in August 2021, and it could color budget negotiations going forward. And there is the wild card of how many non-budget policies the governor might try to include in the budget, such as bail reform and another minimum wage hike. Yancey Roy reports on Newsday.com that Hochul, a Democrat, enters her second full year in office with the state in good condition. Just weeks ago, a state controller's report said tax revenue was coming in at nearly $8 billion more than what was projected in 2022. New York State's general fund holds about $10 billion more than was forecast last year. But extraordinary federal pandemic aid, which spurred huge spending increases in the last two state budgets, is fading away. Riverhead has been named to Forbes' list of the top 50 travel destinations for 2023. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that Riverhead is one of 11 U.S. destinations named to the Forbes Top 50 Destinations list this year. Foreign destinations are included from Corsica, France to Tasmania, Australia. In the United States, from Athens, Georgia to St. Albans, West Virginia, Riverhead's right there. Here's how Forbes advisor journalist Robin Sachs Frankel describes Riverhead: an historic town on the north shore of Long Island with plenty of ways to while away the day. She highlights the Long Island Aquarium, Jamesport Farm Brewery, autumn apple picking at local orchards, and the Big Duck. The write-up notes that no trip to Riverhead is complete without a picture of the famous Big Duck. Parents whose children died in horrific Long Island crashes, a limousine wreck in Cutchogue that killed four friends out for a bachelorette party, a head-on collision in Quag that left five dead, were disappointed but undeterred yesterday by Governor Kathy Hochul's veto of a bill allowing courts to consider emotional suffering and loss when weighing family compensation in a wrongful death lawsuit. Michael O'Keefe reports on Newsday.com that late Monday, Governor Kathy Hochul local vetoed the Grieving Families Act, passed overwhelmingly by the New York State Senate and Assembly last June. The bill would have allowed relatives to file wrongful death lawsuits based on emotional loss and grief and not just on potential earnings lost by the deceased. It would have also expanded the definition of family to include non-traditional relationships while increasing the 2-year statute of limitations for filing litigation by 18 months. New York became the first state to allow lawsuits for wrongful deaths in 1847. But some argue it now lags far behind most of the nation because it prohibits claims for emotional damages. The Empire State is one of just 3, the others being Alabama and Delaware, that bar claims for grief and mental anguish caused by wrongful deaths. In explaining her veto, Governor Hochul blamed the legislature for sending her what she called a flawed bill. Quote, "The bill passed without a serious evaluation of the impact of these massive changes on the economy, small businesses, individuals, and the state's complex health care system," Hochul wrote in her veto. 2 years ago, progressive state lawmakers in New York successfully pushed to increase taxes on the super rich and corporations as a way to spend more on public education and fund pandemic relief programs. Louise Ferre-Saturny in the New York Times reports that now, with the tax increase on large corporations expiring at the end of the year, left-leaning lawmakers and activists have mounted a renewed effort to make the higher corporate tax rate permanent. But that may very well put them at odds with Governor Kathy Hochul, a moderate Democrat who was warned against raising taxes after winning a tight election last year on a pledge to make New York more affordable, fiscally responsible, and economically competitive. Governor Hochul has not taken a stance on the emerging corporate tax debate, but that is expected to change today when she unveils her proposal for the state budget, kicking off the annual negotiations between governor and lawmakers over how to spend over $200 billion in state resources. The corporate tax is but one of a plethora of policy issues that could expose ideological divides and power struggles between the governor and the democratically controlled New York State Legislature. An exhibit focusing on the storied era of the Harlem Renaissance will be on display through February in honor of Black History Month at the Riverhead Free Library. The exhibit is produced by the Riverhead-based African American Educational and Cultural Festival. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the era known as the Harlem Renaissance began around 1910 and lasted through the mid-1930s. It was a period of development for the Harlem neighborhood in northern Manhattan as a Black cultural mecca and a time considered a golden age of African American culture. Artists associated with the movement asserted pride in Black life and identity, a rising consciousness of inequality and discrimination, and interest in the rapidly changing modern world, many experiencing a freedom of expression in art for the first time. New York State Assemblyman Fred W. Thiel Jr. of Sag Harbor and State Senator Anthony Palumbo, who represents Eastern Long Island in the New York State Legislature, two sponsors of the Peconic Community Housing Fund, gave an overview of the legislation to members of the Long Island Association at the Sag Harbor Cinema last Friday. Quote, "At the LIA, one of our chief priorities is affordable housing and a more diverse housing mix," Matt Cohen, the organization's president and CEO, said by way of introduction. "We constantly seek to partner with elected officials, municipalities, and communities to expand housing options in our region." Stephen J. Coates reports on 27East.com that Assemblyman Thiel said that the 5 towns' community preservation funds have raised about $1.9 billion since their creation in 1999. The funds averaged about $90 million in revenue a year until 2021, when the pandemic-induced buying frenzy saw the revenue skyrocket to $210 million. Thiel estimated that the Community Housing Fund, which was approved by voters voters in East Hampton, Southampton, Southold, and Shelter Island in November would raise about $20 million a year. The housing gets its revenue from a 0.5% tax, in addition to the 2% CPF tax. The new tax program begins on April 1st, so revenues will take time to grow, Thiel said. In the meantime, the towns that adopted housing fund legislation are required to submit a plan describing in broad terms how they expect to spend the money. An East Hampton teacher told Senator Palumbo that she was one of only two people under age 35 who lived in the district. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.